Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for tuning in. It's a beautiful, beautiful day, and we're so very thankful to be with you once again. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. We have got another special show for you lined up today. It's truly an honor to have you along on board with us, and if you've been following us for any length of time, you know that at least once a month, we do a show on holistic health. We believe that your health is your wealth, and we've got the awesome Brother Coy Dunstan is our special guest. He is the owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. He's been on this holistic health path for over 30 years and doing it successfully. He's seen a lot of things in the 30 years, and there is just, power in information if you can use it. And we bring you this information because we love you, and we know that you know somebody that is not feeling well. You know somebody that's either got cancer, that's got diabetes, that's got high blood pressure, that's got gout, that's got tuberculosis, that's got HIV, that's got, you know, whatever it is that they have. You either have it or you know somebody that has it. And we're here today to tell you that, number one, they don't have to have it. Number two, if they do have it, they can get rid of it. And today we're going to be talking about how to reverse disease. And before I get to Claire, I want to introduce my lovely wife. I'm in the studio with the queen, Yvette Aquia Chef-Nater.
Hello, everybody.
Wow, aren't you excited about this show we got coming on?
Yes, I am. I'm always excited when Coy comes on, but, you know, it's just the information is so valuable, and, you know, and it's not just about listening, it's about applying it to our lives.
Absolutely.
And we're firsthand, we know that,
right,
you know, It works. It works, but it takes time, it takes discipline, and that's why we have Coy coming on, so he can continue to encourage us.
Absolutely. Let's get to him.
Okay.
All right. Brother Coy Dunstan, thank you so much for being our guest again today. Welcome back to Jawanza for Life.
Good evening to you all and the audience and to your queen. I pray the best for you all. Good to be with you again.
It's great to have you back, brother. Oh, man, it seems like time, month went by fast. But then again, it hasn't been a month. I think it's been 2 weeks ago because we did a special show.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Good to have you back. Today we're going to be talking about how to reverse disease, okay? We're going to be talking about fasting. We're going to be talking about detoxing. And, wow, this information, Brother Coy, is, to me, it's almost revolutionary, but you would think that in the year 2012, with all of this information that's out here now, that more people would be on the holistic health path, that more people would have opened up their eyes and realized now that maybe following the American standard diet isn't the best way, and if you do get sick, maybe going to the doctor, you know, and following those recommendations might not, that might be actually hazardous to your health, you know.
Yeah.
And in 2014, you would think that more people, and more people are coming on board, but you would think that a lot more people would have, I guess, gotten this information and kind of, you know, decided that they were going to try another route. Because, you know, I was thinking about it today, actually, that, you know, it's really, when you think about it, it's unintelligent to eat meat. You know what I mean? Not only is it just dangerous for you, it's just really not intelligent. I mean, when you think about the fact that you eat meat, you're eating a dead animal. I almost said animal. A dead animal. That it seems very primitive now. You know what I mean? It's like almost like cannibalism or something. But let me, before we get into it, why do you think that in this day and age, in the year 2014, that people are still, that so many people are still just not even open to changing their diet, to a livid?
Well, let's be thankful for the ones that are changing, and they are changing, and I think it's just going to take time for people to connect their brain to their body and understand exactly what's going on with their diseases. But you can't keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So if you got a disease of some kind, you got to make some drastic changes in terms of what you eat and how you live so that your body will have a chance to fight off all the conditions that we suffer from today. But, yeah, I think it's a given that, yes, people are changing. It's just not as fast as we'd like to see. But I think we're going to be forced into doing more of this because we won't be able to grow animals like we do now, and it won't be available. And if it is available, it's going to be expensive. So I think people are going to be forced into eating more plant-based diet because they can, you know, it's more available. You can go get it. You can plant your own. You can do a lot of alternatives in terms of meat that would make your life a lot easier. And I think it's just a matter of time before we get to a threshold where we overcome the teachings and philosophies that we believe and begin to believe something a little different. Because we'll see from doing it that it will make a difference, and you don't have to be sick.
Absolutely. And, you know, just a few lately, Yvette and I have been talking about how easy it is to make the transition. I think a lot of times people think that making the transition from a meat-eating diet to a plant-based diet is difficult, or letting go of certain things like sugar, like you and I, like we were just talking prior to the show, how, you know, we've let go of sugar and coffee, and I thought that letting go of sugar was going to be a difficult process, but it's been like, what, almost a month now?
Well, about 3 weeks.
3 weeks? Mm-hmm. Okay. Since having any sugar, you know, and it's been an easy process, and I think for a lot of people, if they just realize just how easy the process is, it really isn't as difficult as people think that it would be, but you got to take that first step. So
yeah,
today we're going to be talking about how to...
Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say today we're going to be talking about how to detox, how to reverse disease. Okay, so first of all, when we talk about disease and reversing it, the first thing I guess one would have to do is to detox the body. So I don't want to assume that everybody knows when we say detox, because, you know, when you start talking in certain circles, there's certain language that comes along with the conversation. So if you're talking about holistic health, then the word detoxing is going to pop up all the time. So, but lest I assume that everybody knows what detoxing is, Corey, could you tell us what is detoxing?
Well, if you have a condition, or even before you have a condition, you should be concerned about detoxing, because over time, the things that we eat, the air that we breathe, the where we live, all of those things will accumulate and cause your body to break down or cause disease. So you have to be aware of that, and the sooner you can get on a program to begin to detox, the easier it'll be. Now, where you prepare or how you prepare to detox is important, because you don't want to do it too fast. If you know you've been doing everything wrong and have a lot of stuff that you know you shouldn't be doing, then you have to deal with that, and just going cold turkey sometimes can make you sicker or even more sick than not doing it. So you feel like, I guess, the unknown is what we're afraid of, and we're afraid if we stop doing what we've been doing, we won't feel the way we feel. But that doesn't make sense, right? So if you want to feel better, then you got to do something different, and detoxing is that different thing that we have to do to make the body respond and do what it's supposed to do. So we have to eliminate the things that we know we shouldn't eat, the dairy, the sugar, and the meat primarily. A lot of people have wheat allergies. A lot of people have allergies to different foods. So you have to kind of monitor yourself and know your body well enough to know what triggers you what triggered the disease. And if you're getting into a stage of diabetes and high blood pressure and heart disease or arthritis, you have gone too far, and you, the sooner you begin to reverse or detox the body and get that uric acid and the excess sugar and all the things that we accumulate in our bodies, the wheat, you'll find that you will be able to overcome those habits pretty easy. But it takes time, and you should do it gradually. You know, don't try to do it all at once. If you haven't, if you're starting from scratch, just start with eliminating the dirty sugar in the meat, and then you go into detoxing with the herbs and the juices and eating plant-based diet, and then eventually you might get to a place to where you will have, you will be able to give up all the dirty sugar in the meat, the things that causes the diseases that we get. So don't be afraid of the unknown. Embrace it. Go with it, and let it take you where you need to go to overcome your disease. That's how you, that's detoxing, so to speak.
Okay. Well, before I get to my next question, I want to first acknowledge somebody who's tuned in. My mother-in-law is tuned in. I want to say hi to Ma. Ma, hi, how are you? Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, Ma.
Hi, Ma.
And we are, again, thankful so much that you've taken time out of your day to tune in and spend the next hour or so with us. Brother Coy, let's talk about the colon for a moment, because every time you're having a conversation with somebody, or a healer, you know, I've always heard that everything starts with the colon, that, you know, if you can detox the colon, you know, get all the junk out. Please talk about the importance of the colon and cleansing the colon as it relates to detoxifying the body.
Well, you want to make sure that anything that you eat passed through your system at least within 18 to 24 hours. So if you are eating three meals a day and you're only having one or two bowel movements a week, you have a problem. And you have to begin to get the bowel into condition so that it'll operate every day. After each full meal, you should have a bowel movement 16 to 24 hours after each full meal. So if your body's not doing that, that's a good indication that you need to detox. All the meat and the dairy that we can't digest, your body's just not made to break it down and burn it. It accumulates on the walls of the bowel. It sticks to the wall, and after a while, it just gets to a place to where it begins to cut off nutrition to the rest of the body, and that's when you begin to break down. So, yes, you want to make sure that your colon is working properly, 16 to 24 hours. Anything that you've eaten should pass through you. And if it's not, you need to be concerned about it and begin to do something to increase the amount of elimination that you have. And, yes, so a lot of us have that problem. We go to the bathroom once or twice a week, and that's not acceptable. You're asking for disease. So even though you may not have a lot of weight or be fat, if your bowels are not working, it's something else going on that you need to be concerned about, and sooner or later it's going to start coming out in different ways. Most of these diseases are preventable if you begin to take matters into your own hands and begin to eliminate those things you know that's going to cause you some problems down the road.
Brother Coy, are you a proponent of colonics? Again, when you talk holistic health, then, of course, at some point in the conversation, colonics is going to come up. And before I ask you to answer that, if you could even say what a colonics is for those who are listening, who, if you're hearing the term for the first time, Brother Coy, what is a colonics, and are you a proponent of it?
Well, I would concur with that. It depends on where you are, but if you've never done any cleansing and you're over 30, you probably want to consider doing some colonics. But I wouldn't start with that. I would start with the process of trying to get my body to do everything it can on its own, with the herbs, with the juicing, with the changing the diet, with doing what we know we need to do. I would begin to do that first. And after you get to a place to where you feel like your body's working okay, your bowels, you strengthen your bowels so that you can take this at colonic, I think you would do better with the colonic. But a colonic is really a solution that's injected through the rectum into the bowel, and it breaks up the impactions on the wall, and you can actually see all that stuff coming out of you, food that you may have eaten 10 years ago. You'll see a piece fly by as you watch the water flow out of your bowels. And until you can get to a place to where that water is kind of clean and you're beginning to see some food that you ate that day, then you or the day before, then you probably take colonic after you've done all the other stuff and do the colonic, and you still see stuff coming out. You want to do the colonic to get out that deep embedded matter on the walls of the bowel that prevents you from assimilating nutrition.
Wow. Everybody, our special guest is Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. We're talking about healing the body. We're talking about reversing dis-ease, and there's a process to do it. There's steps to go through to do it. Again, you just heard that the colon is very important. You've got to keep that clean. Yes, the Queen Sepsis.
Yeah, Coy, also, what about the colon?
Colonoscopy.
The colonoscopy. I mean, is that a dangerous procedure, or do you think, you know, because doctors do recommend that after you get a certain age? I mean, how do you feel about that?
And the reason I know she's asking that is because we've actually done some research and, you know, looked online and, you know, figured out, you know, that from the information that was given on it, that there are some very dangerous procedures out there that people just take for granted. Like, for example, even mammograms we found were a lot of people had issues with that, and there were some side effects to that, even with the colonoscopy, because they were saying that the instruments that are used in that, that because of the way it's made, that they can't even oftentimes clean it as good as they would like to have cleaned it. So oftentimes people are getting and having instruments that aren't even sterile used on them. And they were talking about the side effects of the colonoscopy. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem with colonoscopy is the potential for contamination of the rest of the bowel. Now, generally, I would say that I would be against any procedure that's recommended by the medical profession, because it's not designed to work in harmony with the body. It's designed to create a condition where man thinks that he can improve on what nature can. If you're in a condition where nothing can happen unless you do this situation or this procedure, then maybe that's different. But most of the time, and I would say 99.9% of the time, any procedure that you do is going to have some harmful side effects, and you should be very suspicious in terms of anyone that recommends that you do these things. Again, I would say that you want to go and do the things that you know you need to do first. Once you do that, that'll take care of about half your problem, and then to rebuild your body and make it to work on the areas that are weak would be the next step. And once you do that, chances are you won't need to take any other procedure or go through any other procedure that will potentially harm the body. So, yes, I'm not an advocate of any of the things that's recommended by the medical profession.
And you have a better track record than the medical profession, too, so
right.
I think I'm going to stick with you, brother.
That's correct. Yeah, but stay with the alternatives and make sure that you get yourself on a plan so you understand what's happening. Do some studying and reading to make sure that you know what you're doing, and just do what you know you need to do, and everything else will generally fall in place. That's the philosophy that I follow.
Well, if we could talk about fasting, because I know when we're talking about detoxing that fasting is important. So, again, would you talk about fasting? Of course, what is a fast and, you know, the role that fasting plays detoxifying the body and reversing disease?
Well, fasting is a good way to reverse any condition in the body. But, again, you have to be careful with that. If you have never fasted or if you – it's not a faster, then you need to, again, do those things we know we need to do. Eliminate as much toxicity out of the body as you know. If you're a meat eater or if you smoke or drink or whatever you do that you shouldn't do, you want to eliminate that from whatever you're doing even before you start a fast, because if you don't, you're going to find yourself maybe to withdraw those, to withdraw from these things, and the process of eliminating these things is going to recirculate in your system and affect your brain and how you feel, and you may not want to do it anymore. So you want to be careful in how you even fast. So first you want to detox, and then fasting is an excellent way to get the body or break the bad habits that we have so that we get rid of them. The problem, though, is after you come off the fast is that you don't fall back into what you did before you started fasting. So if you fast, you want to fast in a way that you want to be committed, that you're not going to go back and do the things that you know that cause the problems that you have. But if you make fasting a part of your life or a way of life, in other words, you can fast one day a week, you can fast a week out of the month, you can just fast 40 days if you want to. But each step, you may want to do that in sequence, go to one day a week, then a week, and then a month, would be a proper way to get the best benefit out of fasting, and your body's rejuvenation would be at its peak once you kind of condition the body to what you're doing and eliminate the things that cause you to get into the situation where you felt you needed to fast. But fasting is an excellent way to break strongholds, I would call them, eating meat or sugar or any of the things that we know we shouldn't do. Fasting is a way to strengthen the brain so that we have the brain power to convince the body that this is something that we are not going to do anymore. And when you do that, you get your best benefit from fasting. And I would recommend fasting or a way of fasting for anyone that has some kind of condition that they felt they don't want to necessarily go to the doctor or take a bunch of pills or a bunch of drugs. If you want to fast, it's a good way to get rid of it, but you have to be careful with that too. You have to start slow and understand fasting and how to do it and how to clean your body out so that when you do fast, you can get the best benefit and your body can really rejuvenate itself to become more healthy.
Well, how should one prepare for a fast? Because, and I'm guilty of this next one, you know, sometimes, and I have fasted before. I've actually, the longest fast I did was 6 days, and I noticed that after the first day, even going into the second day, I wasn't even hungry. I didn't even miss food. But there have been times when I said, okay, well, you know what? I think I'm going to fast starting on the weekend. But then that morning rolled around, and it's like, you know what? I'm hungry already before I even started the fast. Maybe I'm not going to start today. So how do you prepare for the fast so that on the day that you actually decide that this is the day that I'm actually going to start the fast, your body is ready? Because you can say, you can make a verbal commitment and say, I'm going to start fasting next week. But then when the day come around that you're to begin the fast, maybe you haven't prepared your body or prepared your spirit for the fast. So if you could talk about how one should prepare for the fast.
And oftentimes that's the case. If we have a problem with fasting, it's usually maybe stress-related. You didn't get time to really do all the things that you know you needed to do before you started. So when you start, your body is fighting with you to try to get you to go back to what you've been doing. And it's so convenient that oftentimes we just, well, we'll try next week or we won't do it this week. We'll try some other time. But preparing is the first thing is, you know, don't try to stop everything all at once. If you're eating meat, just cut out the meat the first week. Then the second week, cut out the dairy products. Then the third week, cut out the sugar. And then the fourth week, then you may be ready to start a juice fast. And you can begin just getting a juicer and juicing green leafy vegetables and any vegetable that you like, just juice it and drink it. And then maybe after a month, you're ready to go on a good fast as long as you want to stay on one at that point, because your body is ready, your spirit is ready, because you're prepared, and you'll find that it'll be a lot easier. But it's the process by which you do it. If you're not a faster, then you have to prepare your body and your mind so that they work in conjunction with each other to get you the benefit that you're looking for. But again, begin to eliminate one thing at a time. Don't try to do it all at once. And at the same time, take the, I would say, the colon cleansers to help eliminate the stuff that you have stuck in you or that you're getting rid of. And then go feed the body what it really needs, raw, live juices, and then go into no food or juice food or whatever you want to drink during your fast. And you'll find that it'll be a lot easier for you to do and accomplish what you set out to do.
So, Coy, so when you say fast, you're basically saying prepare yourself to maybe fast water only or juicing, or is that the way that you're recommending?
I would if I wanted to start a fast today, I would eliminate all meat, all dairy products, all sugar, and I may not do it all at the same time. That can be a little rough for people to do, but if you do it in gradual increments and detox while you do that, you'll find that eventually your body will be ready to give up all of that, all of the bad things that we do. And you'll be strong enough to go through a fast as long as you set your time. You want to set a time, a number of days that you want to fast, and do that. And then if you want to do more, then the next time you say, I'm going to do it twice as long, and then the next time I'm going to do it three times as long. So just give yourself all the benefit of the doubt and just eliminate and begin to integrate the different techniques into your diet so that you're not putting a strain on the body, and you don't want to have all that toxicity coming out at the same time and recirculating in your system. And when you fast, you probably should do enemas, and that would be a good way to prepare to do colonics. If you did enemas after you get on the fast, do enemas every day, one in the morning, one in the night. Take plenty of fiber and the vitamins and minerals that you know you need. After you do that, then you may want to do a colonic, and I would recommend that instead of just going out and doing a colonic in the beginning, because you're not going to get much benefit from that.
And I might add, too, that if you are deciding to go on a fast and you are a part of a family, in other words, you know, for example, if you have children or you're married and, you know, you actually do the cooking in the family, it might be best to see if you can get everybody else to join you on the fast, because, or have them eat out somewhere, because you might not want to be doing the cooking if, you know, you got to sit up there and smell all that delicious food and you're trying to fast. You know, that might make it a bit more difficult. Don't you agree?
But if you prepare properly, you can do that and not have to go through the process of feeling like you got to have the what you're cooking. We want to make sure that in the process, in the beginning of the process, you want to, again, your surroundings, your environment, you want to make sure that that's correct. If you can't bring the family along, then they're going to have to put up with you while you go through your fast, and they're going to have to cook for themselves or cook out for themselves. But that's the process I would take, because you have to make the decision on your own. And if you make that decision, then you have to stick to it. It's going to be a lot of things that's going to come up to say, no, you shouldn't do this, and I got to do that. That's not true. I think even if your family don't go with you, I think if you explain it to them what you're doing and sit down and make up some kind of a plan or agreement, I think they would support you in that. But ideally, yes, you would want the whole family to do it, because if you start your children young, the better off you're giving. You're giving them a much better foundation in terms of their health than any other thing you can do.
How often do you recommend fasting?
Well, the change of the seasons probably is the most general. Like, we've just gone through the spring equinox, and then the fall equinox are probably the most important times to plan your fast. But you can fast any time. But if you want to set a regular schedule of fasting, I would say the spring equinox, the fall equinox, because you got the summer foods that you've been eating all summer, and going into the winter, you want to make sure that your body is ready to deal with the winter and your immune system is up, so that's a good time to fast. Fasting is excellent to build up your immune system and prevent diseases. And oftentimes, if you have a disease or something, or every year at the same time you find yourself going through some kind of discomfort or disease, that's a time that you want to fast. And most of us have these times in the year that we have conditions that we have to contend with. So I would recommend that if that's going on with you, that you plan to fast during that time, you know, a week before, a week after. If you do the fasting, you'll find that that condition that affects you every year will go away. And if you're fasting, if you want to fast every day or once a week or once a month. It's a schedule that you decide that works for you, and you do that. And the fasting is a good way to get your mind ready to be strong enough to fast for what you want to achieve. So, yes, there's no really set times. Just the change of the seasons. If you want to do it one day a week or 1 week out of the month, that's fine. You can spread it throughout the year. You have to kind of find your body and what works best for you, and only you can make that decision in terms of how often, but generally spring and fall.
Should a person fast while they're on medication, Coy, because you have a lot of people that might already have been diagnosed with something, could be high blood pressure or whatever, diabetes medication or whatever. Should a person fast while they're on medication?
No, I would say no to that, and I explained that if you're on medication, that's why you're fasting, so you should be fasting to get off the medication. And if you prepare yourself properly and monitor yourself, if you know your pressure is high, once you begin to eliminate the dairy, the sugar, and the meat, if it takes you 3 weeks or if you can do it in a week, that's fine. Your pressure and all that, whatever condition you have, should be subsiding well enough so that you don't have to take that medication. Now, you have to do that with care, but that's why you fast, so you don't have to take that medication. If you're going to take the medication and fast, you're just going to move the disease from maybe your body up further to your brain or something, because the medications that you're taking, unless they're plant-based, is not going to benefit you to fast through that process if that's what you want to do. So if you prepare yourself properly, another reason why you should prepare, eliminating the things that you need to eliminate, all of that should dissipate. Your blood pressure, your diabetes, your blood sugar should balance. Your arthritis pain should go away. That's when you're ready to go on your fast, the complete fast. And getting there is the process by which it's very important that we consider how we do that. And you have to be able to monitor your blood sugar. You have to be able to monitor your pressure. Whatever condition you have, you have to be able to monitor it. And today you can generally get some machine or some equipment that will allow you to monitor yourself when you get up before you go to bed. And when you find that it's reversing or coming down or dissipating, you know you're on the right track. And when you get to a place to where they are stabilized enough for you to fast, that's when you want to fast. You get off the medication. That's how you get off medication.
Well, Coy, somebody's got a question. Caller, thank you so much. You're on the air with Coy Dunstan. Ma, welcome to Juwanza for Life.
Hi. Yes, I have a question. And hi, Coy. I enjoy every time I'm listening to you. But my question with the fasting, I understand the process of elimination as far as the food groups, maybe weekly eliminate one day at a time. My question is, when you said something about the enemas, you said maybe twice daily for a month, mm-hmm. then you can go to the colonics. My mm-hmm. question is, well, first of all, what type of enema are you talking about? Is it like a flake enema? Mm-hmm. And the other part of the question is, will that make you dependent upon, because my correlation is with like a laxative, would that make your body functions dependent upon something in order for it to move properly once you come off of those enemas?
No, it should not. I don't think that would be a consideration, because what you're doing is getting the body ready to function the way it should. So in the process of fasting, that should take care of itself. But in terms of an enema, I'm talking about old-fashioned enemas, 2-quart hot water bottle filled with, you can use garlic, you can use golden seal, you can use honey, you can use cayenne pepper. Maybe not all at once, but any of those things that you put in, you would find that it stimulate this peristalsis in the bowel so that it breaks up that impaction on the wall. So that's why you do it in the morning and at night, because you want to give your body every chance it can to wash that stuff out. So, and when you do the two-quart hot water bottle, you may not be able to hold it all the first time. You may not be able to hold it all the second time. But that's the process of strengthening your bowel. That's why you should fast before you do enemas, so you have some idea of how your bowel function, so that when you get all this water, you should be able to get to the place to where you can inject the whole two-quart hot water bottle, walk around, do what you have to do, wash your dishes, and then eliminate it when you get ready. That's the objective of where you're going. If you put it in and right away you got to go, you just have to settle yourself down a little bit and let it come out and get to a place to where you can actually hold it in, or you're not really holding it in, but your body can, you want it to circulate in your bowel as much as you can, and then eliminate. So it may take you an hour to do a good enema, but once you get it in you and you can get up and walk around without feeling like you got to go, you're in a good place to say that you're in pretty good shape and your bowels are ready to do the colonics or whatever next step you want to go to. But that's when you know you're ready, when you can hold that whole two-quart hot water bottle in your bowel and you can walk around and do your housework or whatever you need to do before you eliminate it. And then you take a good hot shower and you're good for the day. Your energy level is there and you're ready to go.
Okay, so you're not saying, like, if I start eliminating meat for the first week, don't start with the enemas that first week. Wait a while.
Yeah, I would probably want to eliminate the meat and the dairy and the sugar before you do the enemas, and you can do that with the herbs. That's the role the herbs play. It'll get rid of that impaction that you have in the bowel, and it will allow you to be able to hold that two-quart hot water bottle of enema when you do start doing it. But when you do the enemas, you want to do it at least the first week in the morning and at night of your fast. And oftentimes when we fast, if you're not ready, you will find that you will feel tired, you will feel headachy. The enemas help alleviate that, helps move that through the body. That's that toxicity recirculating through your body, and you have to get it out for your energy to come back, to find your energy. So you want to make sure that when you do the enemas, that your body is ready for it. It's not a lot of toxicity there for it to circulate back in your system, and it's not going to drain you of your energy. So the fasting, doing it properly, is probably you get a much better result if you do it in stages and do it as your body allows you. But you have to be on a plan and you have to be consistent, and that's the main thing with fasting. You have to have a good mental. You have to be mentally ready to do that. Yes.
All right, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much. We're going to keep you on in case you have another question, okay?
Okay.
All right. Brother Coy, what about now, since we're talking about enemas and the bowels and so forth, I remember once I did I had read somewhere or something talking about baking soda, you know, putting baking soda in, I forget how many ounces of water and drinking that. And I did that, but I mean, I felt miserable. I didn't know my stomach was squeezing. I mean, I never
well, long ago, long ago, that's all we had and that's all we knew. But we have progressed, I hope, to a place where we have better choices that we can make in terms of how to detox the body and to get it to respond to what we are trying to do. So some of those old remedies still work. Some almost still, like the enema. The enema is one of the oldest ones you can get. And just learning what to put in it, the golden seal, the pepper, the honey, all of those things is probably as far as I would want to go in terms of taking alternative methods. But when you get into the baking sodas and that kind of stuff, you don't have to do that. If that's what works for you, fine. But I think you want to get to a place to where you understand the herbs and how they work and begin to use those, the plants themselves, not some baking powder that somebody made in a factory somewhere. You don't want to do that.
Well, Coy, you helped us now to understand how to go into the fast, during the fast. What about transitioning off of the fast?
just as important as going on. You may say I'm on a fast for 10 days, and then after the 10 day, you may feel like you want to go out to the steakhouse and have one of the big quarter steaks or something like that. That's not a good idea, because once you fast, you have fasted to get that out of you, so why would you go back and put it back in? So you have to be careful. You want to reverse it. Go back. You generally go from juice to water, and this is at the beginning of the fast. You can do juice and water, and then as you get into the fast, you can go to just water, and you want to reverse that coming back to the fast. You want to go back to the juicing. Then you want to go back to grains, nuts, and seeds. Then just do raw vegetables or raw foods. You want to transition back slowly. But when you break the fast, all those sensations will come back maybe, and you feel like this is what you want, or you feel like you've been deprived of these things, and you're not going to deprive yourself anymore. But that's not the way to go. You want to stay where you are and begin to eat and consume those things that you know will build your immune system and keep your body healthy, and learn how to eat. That's something we haven't been taught how to do, is how to eat. So you want to learn how to eat while you're on the fast. You can be studying and learning what your body really needs and the sources of it, and begin to use more of those things as you come off the fast. So, if you were on a fast for 3 weeks, then it should take you about 3 weeks to come off. That's generally how it goes. So as much time as you fast, you want to take that time to come off. If you come back too fast, you're going to fall right back, and it's going to be maybe more harmful to you to fast than staying with it and doing the right thing. So, yes, you want to be careful with that.
And, I understand and I know the importance of planning and setting goals as far as having your mind, you know, set concerning, you know, why am I going into this fast? What is the purpose? And
right.
If you did this for a purpose, say, for instance, you want to eliminate meat or sugar, dairy, or whatever, if you made it through the fast, I think it's important to remember, don't go back to those things if you made it that far. So I think that is really important to hold on to the reason, what was it all for, you know, not just the detail, but to continue that discipline.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really about spiritual rejuvenation. Spiritual is where you can communicate with that higher power or your God. You can actually, when you fast, you become closer to them, and you need to learn how to listen to what they're telling you and just stay with what they tell you. When you fast, you elevate your spirituality like through the roof. And if you don't handle it properly, you can actually, it can become a good spirit or a bad spirit. So you want to stay on the good side of your spirit and do the things feed your mind good, positive thoughts. Read the Bible, read whatever you like to read, but fill your mind with positive thoughts and listen for God to tell you what to do next. That's really why you're fasting. You're trying to find the voice of God.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about. Brother Coy, could you talk about the healing crisis? Because, again, once you start to detox the body and start fasting, there may be some things that transpire in your body as it's throwing off the toxins that have accumulated in the body over the years. And you talked about not going back. Like you and I were talking, and Yvette was talking about how when I stopped eating sugar, that, you know, immediately, you know, like within a day or two, you know, I had a headache, you know, and, you know, when it came to even thinking about going back, it would have been like, no, I didn't have that headache for nothing. You know, I didn't have that headache to go back to, you know, eating sugar. So could you talk about just the healing crisis? Because healing process, people don't like that. I don't want to scare nobody when I say crisis. But, you know, as you start to heal, and Coy will attest to it, that there are going to be some changes that you experience in your body as your body starts to throw off the toxins that have been accumulated with all of the, you know, toxicity, that's normal. So could you talk about that?
Well,
so they won't
why we prepare. You gotta we go through the process of eliminating those things, one at a time, till we get to a place to where we feel comfortable that we've gotten the level of our toxicity down to a place to where it won't control us or make us feel bad. But again, the whole idea is to prepare, and through the preparation, you should reduce that little discomfort that you get when you're trying to make a transition into another diet or a fast. So if you don't do that properly, then yes, you can have the headaches, you can have the discomfort that comes from trying to fast in a dirty body, and you're going to find that it's not going to work for you. But if you take the time, go through the process of eliminating those things and giving your body as much chance as you can through the herbs and the juicing and the diet to reduce that toxicity in the body, your what they call the healing processes will be minimal, and you'll find that you won't have to reverse or stop the fast because you feel so bad. But if that happens, that's even more reason. If you want to continue and your mind is made up and you're going to say, I feel bad today, that's why you take the enemas. It helps eliminate that toxicity in the bloodstream and get it out. It speeds up the process of eliminating that toxicity. And that's another way to reduce the effects of the healing on the body. So, yes, you want to do you do the preparation for that reason. And if it's not enough, when you start the fast, you may feel a little discomfort. That's when you want to do the enemas and make sure that you do what you can to, you know, put in the garlic, the golden seal, whatever you want to put in it to help break up that toxicity and clean the blood. And you'll find that you'll get more energy out of your fast when you do that. It may last for a day or two, but don't feel like it's going to be with you throughout the whole time you fast. After 3 days at the most, your body will rebound, your mind will come sharper, and you will feel the energy from what you're doing, and you will have need of less of the, you'll have less of a desire to quit or go back or to go eat those foods again. But it is important that you prepare. And if you find that you didn't prepare enough, you need to do the enemas. And through that process, you'll find that the healing crisis or the healing process will be have less effect on how you feel while you're fasting. You don't want to feel like you're depriving yourself or you're punishing your body when you fast. You want to understand that what's happening. If you feel bad, it's just that you still have some toxicity to come out. You do the enema to get that out. And then beyond that, 2 or 3 days at the most, you should feel like all your energy, and you'll wonder why you haven't done this before. No one ever told you about it, because you'll feel like everything is working the way God intended it to, and you'll be, out and running every day. Even when you're fasting, you can exercise, you can walk, you'll have more energy to do all of that. Wow. When you fast properly. So, yes, you want to stay with that idea that, yes, it may get a little rough, but it shouldn't last always. So you want to, that too shall pass, so to speak.
Well, do you recommend for someone that is maybe transitioning during this fast that's on medication to make sure that they speak with someone like yourself that can just help guide them specifically because of them being on medication?
If you're on medication and you feel you have to take it, you will first want to talk to your doctor. If your doctor can't explain to you or recommend to you what you need to do, then, yes, you may want to talk to me. And you still have – it's still your decision to make. That's the bottom line. Your doctor will tell you probably that, no, you can't stop these medications. You got to take them, you got to take them, you got to take them. But if you really feel in your heart that this is something that you need to do to make life better for yourself, that's a decision that you make, and you have to decide the best way to do that. If your doctor won't help you, then I can give you some suggestions on what you can do to move ahead with your idea of fasting. So, no, I don't think fasting on medication is a good idea. I guess some people can, but that whole idea is that's why you're fasting. You want to get off of that, and you want to begin to feed the body what it needs so that you don't be dependent on the medications that they say you have to have. So, again, that would be my approach to that. If your doctor won't help you, or if you can't find someone that will assist you through the process, you can still do it. You just have to be aware and be able to monitor yourself so that you are aware of when you're getting too far out of line. And if you find that your condition is worsening or something, it may happen. The thing is you have to get your rest. You have to do more detoxing. You have to whatever you need to do to bring down your dependency on that drug is why you're fasting. And if you do that, your body will respond and do what it's supposed to do on its own so that you don't have to feel like you're going to die because you didn't do what the doctor said, something like that. Yeah.
Well, I just want to warn everybody that if you're listening to this information for the first time and you are dealing with some sort of ailment, some sort of dis-ease, you can ask your doctor about what are his thoughts on herbs, but I'm telling you now, he's going to tell you, I don't believe in that.
Don't waste
your time. That's what he's going to tell you. So you heard it
when you
go to your doctor and ask him, well, I heard about herbs, you know, this alternative medicine. What do you think about that? He's going to tell you, don't waste your time. I don't believe in that. But ask him how many people he's cured of cancer. Okay,
right.
You ask him how many people he's cured of whatever ailment you've got.
Yeah,
chances are
that's right.
He's going to tell you you got to take that high blood pressure medicine for the rest of your life.
Brother Quick, that's not an option. But you have to have a strong mind, and you have to be willing to step out on faith, I suppose. What you don't know can kill you. So you have to be willing to take a chance to learn the proper processes of doing what you're setting out to do. And taking medication every day is not a proper process for any disease. So you want to learn how to get the body to respond to these the foods that you eat, the thoughts that you think, and the energy that you, or the exercises that you do. You want your body to respond, and it will tell you whether or not you're doing the right thing or not. And you don't have to depend on no one but yourself. All that's in your brain. But you do need to monitor yourself and make sure you're in line and all of that. But it's not that you have to take the medications for the rest of your life, or that you have to go through the processes of just listening to the doctor, because his record is not very, very good. And you have to have the faith in yourself to make that change and make a difference so that you can come out victorious, bottom line.
Well, you know, Corey, and people can do the research for themselves today. I mean, it is so easy. They can go right online, Google any question that they have, and tons of information will come up. And the majority of the information that I've seen online is positive concerning herbs, you know, and holistic health. So, and it's negative concerning allopathic medicine. So, I mean, people can for themselves today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brother
Clark,
can you give your...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you, could you give your information? Because I know there's somebody out there saying, this information is so powerful, I got to call this guy. I got questions, and if you just don't want to talk about it on the air, that's understandable. If you would like to speak to Coy, and he's in Washington, D.C., can you give your information, Coy, for people who might want to contact you?
I'm at 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest. That's out toward Eastover in the district area, the District of Columbia, Ward 8. And my telephone number is 202-562-0041. I'm usually there all the time, but if, like this time of the night, I'm closed. So if you want to leave a message, I can call you back. Or if you want to call between the hours of 7 and 5 or something like that, that's fine too. We can make some time to speak with you and give you whatever information or try to assist you in whatever condition you're dealing with. But 3923 South Capitol Street, telephone 202-562-0041.
And call a 3349 if you have another call. Just press 1. Another question, just press 1, and we'll bring you back on the air.
Brother Coy, let me ask you this. Now, this is for some... Okay, we got another question. All right, thank you. All right, caller, you are back on the air with Coy Dunstan.
Yes. What I wanted to know, is there a recommended age group for fasting, detoxing, cleansing? Because we do have people in their 20s, you know, like 19, 18, have high blood pressure, diabetes, and stuff like that. So is there a recommended age group for people to, you know, do these procedures? You know, if you're over something, do you recommend still doing the fasting?
Well, these days, I mean, we're getting these the preventable diseases earlier and earlier in our lives. I mean, we get them in what they call juvenile diabetes now. So I think it's not too early. I think, again, it's the process that you go through to get to where you want to go. You have to know if you want to prevent juvenile diabetes in children, eliminate sugar. That's the first fast you want to teach your children, that if they can eliminate sugar, they'll feel better. They won't have to take the medications. They teach them how their body works, teach them how to eat. We haven't had a lot of lessons on how to eat and what we should eat. Let them slow down and chew their food. Eliminate all the sugar that you can from their diet. Eliminate all the meat that you can from their diet. And protect them as best you can from being around it in their environment, like schools. You might have to get involved with your school lunch program or something, or what they put in their vending machines. The sooner you can get started, the better. But in general, if you're in pretty good shape and you can live past 20 years old, I would say any time after your teenage years is a good time to fast. But we find that now that age might be at 10, because a lot of the girls now, we find they're having problems with menstruals, or their body is over too many hormones. So if you can get their diet right in their first 4 or 5 years, if you can teach them how to eat properly and what not to eat, just show them that the difference between what they have available and how to make choices in terms of what they eat, I think that may be a better choice at a younger age, because the sooner you can get them on a good diet, the less chances they're going to have of getting these preventable diseases. But if they already have them, then yes, you're going to have to teach them how to fast, because they're going to have to make some serious changes, because their taste buds are going off the Richter scale in terms of sugar and wheat and all the things that we know that create these diseases that they get. So, yeah, the earlier work with their diet, and as they get older, then you could begin to incorporate some of those procedures. I think if you can teach a child how to fast, make it a part of their life, I think they'll be much better off when they get older. And that would be my approach to it. If they have a disease before they attend, then show them what they have to do to prevent or to get that disease taken care of. And they'll learn from that, and maybe they'll be stronger in terms of going forward in terms of how they take care of themselves, so that maybe they won't have to do a lot of the medications, or at least maybe not even a lot of the herbs, or maybe not even if they're eating properly, they should be getting what they need anyway. So that's where you want to go in terms of the younger crowd. But as they get older, I would say over 15 or 16 these days, you want to start them on fasting. And that's the age where they kind of get out of control, or they're out of control. And a lot of it has to do with their hormones and their enzymes, and their body's just in turmoil in terms of trying to deal with what they're eating and all the things that they encounter each day. And they're under a lot of stress, too, so you want to teach them how to slow down, breathe, eat. All of those things are important in terms of teaching your children how to avoid a lot of these diseases. And you'll find that as they grow older, they'll incorporate them in their life, or they will be able to avoid falling into these traps with the foods that are out there that are so addictive.
Caller, thank you so much for your question. Brother Coy, we've got a couple of minutes left. I have a question to ask you. This is concerning, you take an individual that's had a stroke or multiple strokes. When it comes to fasting and detoxing, First of all, what actually causes a stroke, and what can a person do that's had a stroke to ensure that they don't have another one? And can they, can those, can the effects of a stroke be reversed?
Well, I would say the primary causes of a stroke is dehydration, not enough water, and we are not the over toxicity in the body. Your body begins to shut down after a while when you continue to expose yourself to undue stress. You're drinking the coffee, smoking the cigarettes, and all the other things that really doesn't help the brain. You causing oxygen, a lack of oxygen comes in as a result of the dehydration. And if you can't breathe, or if you don't have oxygen, or if you don't know how to breathe, you're going to get a stroke, because a stroke comes from a lack of oxygen to the brain. A heart attack comes from lack of oxygen to the heart. So we have to learn how to breathe. That's why exercise is important. That's why we have to move. The lymphatic system protects us. That's the immune system protects us from that. But the immune system doesn't have a heart. So we have to move. We have to breathe. We have to do what we can to make this body, this immune system, function in the body the way it's supposed to. So we want to, yes, make sure that we drink plenty of water, the proper amount of water. I would say half your body weight in ounces, and we want to make sure we get oxygen, good clean oxygen in our system every day. Even after you have a stroke, that is the way you recover. You have to do those things. Otherwise, your arteries are going to stay clogged up, and you're not going to keep cutting off circulation throughout the body, and you're going to be having multiple strokes. So the sooner you get the oxygen, the hydration in the body, the better off you'll be able to defend against heart attacks and strokes.
So can people regain the use of their limbs? For example, if somebody has a stroke and it affects one side of their body, if they start getting the proper, the water, the oxygen, you know, can that be restored?
I would say so. You would have to probably what they call rehab, do some rehab. But oftentimes when these things happen, you lose function in an arm or a leg, and it just feels like it's not going to go anywhere. But that is your lymphatic system. It's just, or your immune system is just, is not functioning properly because you have stuck. It's stuck. You have something stuck somewhere. And once mm-hmm. you learn how to move that lymphatic fluid through that area, you'll find that it will reverse. And that's why you do the breathing is the best way to move the lymphatic system and get it unstuck. And exercise is the next way to do it, so that you don't have this this stuck protein that's blocking up oxygen or stopping the flow of oxygen. Pain is nothing but oxygen, or a malfunction in your arm is just you're not getting oxygen, enough oxygen there. So you have to learn how to, what you have to do to generate more oxygen in your body, learn how to breathe, deep breathing, and learn how to drink the right water. There's different kinds of water that you can drink to hydrate the body. And once you do that, the body will respond and do what it's supposed to do.
Wow. Brother Coy, we thank you so much, man. This hour went by so fast, as they always do when we're talking to you. I mean, we thank you very, very much for being our special guest. Everybody, that's Brother Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Brother Coy, could you give the address and the hours of operation again for those who are interested in getting in contact with you or stopping by your establishment? And let me
read that.
Got the best food in D.C., okay?
Yeah.
You got to get by there. If you have never tasted a vegetarian dish, you got to get past Secrets of Nature. I'm telling you, you'll be going by there every single day. All right, Brother Coy, please give your information if you don't mind.
I'm at 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest. I'm on the southwest side of Southeast over there. And the telephone is 202-562-0041. And the hours are from 8 to 6 daily. And if you can't get to me, just give me a call, and we'll hook up somehow, and I'll address whatever concerns you might have in terms of your health or how to eat or what you can eat, that kind of stuff. We need to do more teaching on that. And that's what I do. So if you can, or if you want to talk to me, 202-562-0041 is the best way to get me. Or you can just stop by if you happen to be in the area. You're riding down 495, just get off at exit 210 North. You want a 210 North off of 495, coming across the Woodrow Wilson Bridge, just come down the 210 North, and I'm about maybe 2 miles into the district. And you'll see me there on the left across the street from the AutoZone.
Brother Coy, next time any veteran in town, man, we're going to have to stop past, maybe get in the kitchen with you, learn some recipes, my brother.
come on. I do that, too. You can do that, yeah. It's not doing me any good. I can't eat all my food. I try, but I gotta teach people how to do it. Otherwise, we won't improve our health and make the differences that we need in our lives. So, yeah, if you want to come in the kitchen or watch or whatever, come on by. We'll work it out.
Brother Coy, you are an awesome brother, man. I would just want to again thank you for all of your years of, you know, healing, you know, just being a blessing to the people in the Washington, D.C. area. You know, I learned about being a vegetarian when I was up there, and your place was one of the places I stopped by often, you know. And, again, I just thank you for the information that you've given to help heal this planet. I mean, again, one person at a time, and you have been, again, just an awesome, awesome blessing, brother. God has placed you here. You're on your purpose,
yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
You've touched my life. You've touched my wife's life.
Yeah.
I mean, and everybody who's listening, he's touching your life because there's no accident. It's no accident that you're listening to the broadcast. And it's just a matter of taking the information, being patient. It doesn't happen overnight. You can do it. You know, Coy is a witness. And if you have any questions, just pick up the phone and call him. 202-562-0041. That's area code 202-562-0041. Brother Coy, as always, brother, God bless you. Any final words before we say goodnight and let everybody know that you are a regular and we'll be talking to you again very soon. But any last words for the listeners?
Well, I'd like to thank God, first of all, and then I'd like to thank God for allowing you to use me, and I thank God for you so that you can use me to get the word out and to spread the word throughout the country about what we're doing and what we need to do to make our lives a little better, to get our minds right and to move ahead and get this world straightened out, because we got a mess on our hands in this world, and it's going to take some strong, right-thinking people to make a difference and make a change. So let's get on with it.
Let's do it. Brother Coy, again, talk to you next time, my brother. As always, it's been a powerful, powerful show, lots of powerful information, and information is power, my brother. You've taught me a lot, and again, I just want to say thank you, brother, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
But thank you. Have a good evening.
Okay.
To you and take care.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Peace. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Everybody, that was Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. What an awesome, awesome brother. I mean, we learn so much every time we talk to him, don't we?
Always, absolutely. And this information, people need to know, you know, the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a process, like we always say, it's a process, and you just take one step at a time. You might not can digest all of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, at one time, but keep on tuning in. Everybody, keep tuning in. Coy is going to, like Juwanza said, is out as a regular guest. And he's bringing all different types of information,
mm-hmm.
and knowledge is power.
Information, knowledge is power.
Yes.
Information is power if you use it.
If you use it, and that's the key. You got to take this information and you got to apply it to your life.
I mean, it's easy to talk it, but you got to walk it. Okay?
<That's right.
laughs> So, everybody, Ma, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. Awesome questions that you had. And, again, everybody, we look forward to talking to you again with Brother Coy as our special guest again. Once a month he comes on, and share this information with somebody you know.
Yeah.
If you know somebody, everybody knows somebody that's sick, unfortunately. You know, everybody knows somebody that's dealing with some sort of health concern. Well, God has given the answer to you. And if it's not for you, he's giving it to you not to keep to yourself, but to share it with somebody else.
To me, this is a part of the good news.
Amen.
You know, that, and you you can take this information. You got hope now.
That's right.
And so that's why, I mean, I just enjoy it so much because now you know you can take that control back into your life
yes.
and have optimal whole, wealth.
That's
I mean,
right.
wellness.
Well, your health is your wealth.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
So until the next time, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you. Peace.
Peace.